Do you hear me? it's a short shiur this morning, this shiur, because slichas, we have to start soon. A little bit on page nunvav, of how to look at oneself and how to measure oneself and to judge where a person is in his tefillah and his avoda, and to try to be honest and real in one's avoda and one's tefillah. So we were talking about how on page nunvav. Let's just go over that paragraph again. Haistaklus bekirbay. We're doing it at the end of last week. It's quickly page nunvav. Haistaklus bekirbay kosher mipnei shabbat bruchani kamar v'leilavush mamashihu. When it comes to looking at oneself, you know, when it comes to physical things, there are ways of measuring and there are ways of judging what something is and how it is at that time. When it comes to ruchnis, when it comes to spiritual things and to look into oneself, it's very, very hard. Because ruchnis is kamat, and davening doesn't have any islamshis in the physical world. And also, one's davening, one's avoid, it's very personal. Each person has his own world and what he's going through and who he's holding. We don't know what it means exactly. It's to say that there's something inside of a person that's called yira, that's called fear of Hashem. The question is, each person, that thing which we call yira, which is not something empirical that can be touched or put under a microscope and seen in the laboratory. The question is, what effect does this thing called year have upon a person? We don't know so much to measure the year, what it is itself. Only we can only try to understand, how does it affect a person? Is this person behaving or acting in a way that we could see is called Yirah Shamayim? So a person can tell you that he has you could say, I have tremendous, tremendous Yirah Shamayim, but then he's acting or doing something or living in a certain way that contradicts Yirah Shamayim. Veim hisrakshus azuat v'em is yirahi, amarama hi is atzma. Whether or not it's actual, it's truly Yirah Hashem, or is the person just fooling himself? There's nobody in the world that could explain it to you. No one can tell you whether or not what you're feeling at that moment is truly Yirah Hashem, or is truly Ahavas Hashem. No one can say that. Like you could talk about something physical and prove it or explain it scientifically in Mitzvahs. Right, the Vimrak Aydin Migyosi is Taka. Not only that, everybody knows that when we look at things when we look at things within ourselves, there are so many Nigiyas. It's our way of looking at things is to begin with is rigged, is fixed, because we want there to be certain results when we look at ourselves. We don't want to see things that will contradict our notion of who we are. So there are so many negiyas. There's so many when a person looks at himself. And who doesn't have a negiya to himself? In other words, who isn't biased when it comes to how he looks at himself? So when a person looks at himself, the way that he evaluates himself could be so completely, totally wrong. It could be totally wrong because of the personal bias that he has and the rutzen that he has, the desire that he has to come up with certain results. Kam simen ve'even boichein, im niten lo livchein al yoda es atzmai, ve'es rak shi yoysav. And if it were even possible, if it were possible to provide some sort of a test, in other words, if there was some sort of a Yiddishkeit indicator that a person could could have, if there was such a thing, a meter, a way of measuring these things, and ways of establishing simanim, signs, to indicate where are you holding your Yiddishkeit, where is your Ahavas Hashem, where is your Yiras Hashem, are you truly feeling anything regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So the Rebbe says, Gam Oysam Yisalef, even these a person would distort, would and because of his personal bias and his ruts and the things look a certain way, it'll come out looking a certain way. Well, a person, because of his ruts and that it should be a certain way, he'll make sure that it comes out that way. That's the nature of a person. So we can't really know for sure. Since we're not talking about physical ways of measuring and of testing. One's Yirat Shamayim, one's Avodas Hashem. V'agam hei minei hegeishis atzmis. It's all a matter of how one, of a certain sensitivity, of how one feels within oneself. Hamichod esvark loy, that are obviously personal, that person by alone. V'agam behen yidmaloy shegazayis v'gazayis hegeish. So even if we do give some siman, so the person will say, this is what I felt. Because I saw the light, and he'll be convinced that this is something that he truly experienced. Hakol kfi shiraitza. Everything will come out the way that he wants it to come out. V'lo kfi shiraitza be'emes, and not the way that it really is. Again, therefore, harbe his amtsas. It takes tremendous effort. It's a tremendous amount of work when it comes to this histaklus pnimis, looking into oneself. Gam im simanero b'chines ayachad. Even if we do talk about certain simanim, that there are certain signs that we receive from Chazal to know who you are and what's going on inside of you, and there are certain tests, there are certain b'chines to test oneself to see. Like I mentioned last week a little bit, a person can always have all kinds of explanations and negiyas, and only when there's unbelievable honesty and tremendous, tremendous yagiya effort that's put into this is it possible to come up with something and to be honest about it. And a person is not lying. Negiyas is just, it's a very, very natural thing that we try to. We have a very complicated and strong defense system inside of ourselves. We don't want to see things that are bad, things that are wrong, things that haven't been refined, especially if it's something that's a matter of a person's entire lifetime, is doing something, has a certain way of acting. So a person has a certain thing in his personality. How do you tell a person? How does a person tell himself? Let's say somebody's very loud. Very loud, he has to be the center of attention. And that's not the Ratzon Hashem that a Jew act that way. It's that a person be the center of attention. But if a person's whole hanhog is, since he's a baby, is to act that way, and then it continued on in school, and later on through life, so then that person reads in the Sefer that to be needy in that way and to want to be the focus of everybody's attention is something which is not the Ratzon Hashem. It's an indicator, it's a simon, it's a bechina, it's a way of testing one's Yirat Shamayim. That an Eilech Yid, the Yirat Shamayim, Davka wants to run away from being the center of attention. But if somebody's acting that way his entire life and he reads that in a Sefer, so there are a few things that could happen. One is he'll learn a different Sefer. Or B is that he'll think to himself that this is it's true that I'm a little bit not like that, but my entire intention in being that way is to be mesamech other people, or he'll say that if that's not a good thing, then that's a matter of upbringing, and it's a matter of a certain personality, and it can't be that Hashem wants me to change my personality. There are many, many, many things that a person would say. because he can't confront that reality of a description of something that contradicts his entire life. Because for him to change would be acknowledging that all of his life until then has been led in a way that's not correct. It's very hard for a person to do that. A person, you see that even in school, sometimes somebody takes a test. Anybody who's ever been a teacher knows this. But you give a bechina, you give a test. What's a test? You give a test. And there's some kid that will try to argue with you for 2 hours over 5 points that he thinks are coming to him. And you know, Damas says he deserves 40 points less than that. But he's coming to handle with you over a few points, and he thinks it's got to be right, it has to be right. That's the nature of a person. If it's something that I wrote, if it's something that I did, if it's a grade that I want, it has to be, it has to come out that way. That's what the Rebbe is saying. That everything comes out kafisha rights, or kafisha ba'emes. It's how a person wants, not the way that it is ba'emes. So it takes a tremendous amount of work. See, even if there are simanim, there are bechinas. Even if there are certain signs, and there are certain bechinas. There are people that are trying a certain business. There are people that are even in chinuch or melachas hakodesh, and they see for 3 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, they see that's not going. It's not going. And everybody's telling them, maybe it's not for you, maybe it's not for you. So then he'll say all kinds of lishayinus. He says that no, Rabbi Nachman says never to be misyayish, you know, like these lishayinus. No, he says you should be misyayish. You're a very successful person. You're a very chashuv person. But this is not what you should be doing. You could be an ish matzlich, but this is not for you. You don't do this good. You're not doing this properly. It's not good. It's not matzlich. It's very, very hard. And people push ahead with all kinds of things and be in all kinds of situations. I've had conversations just recently, a conversation with someone's wife, where the family is on the brink of complete and total poverty, and she says that her husband has been trying a certain thing and he can't get it, make it work, and he can't get this job, he loses that job, and she's been begging him, just try something else. People have offered him jobs, and he has to have it this way. So even though you have a very, very clear simon, a very clear bechina, and you don't have to be a big genius to see that this is something which is not going. But a person has negia. He invested into that profession, not just money, but time, and he felt he trained for it. And when you talk to him, which I did, it's all kinds of lishayness. You think that this guy is mamish, the Donald Trump of that inyan. And he hasn't had one hatzlach in it, not one. Not one. You could talk to people who are living from hand to mouth that they came out don't have, and you ask them what you do. He says, I'm in real estate. He says, you're in here real estate. You don't even have a roof over your own head. You're in real estate. I'm in real estate. What do you mean you're in real estate? It means it's the mitzvah of being in real estate. When was the last time you sold a house? You don't even win a monopoly with the houses. When was the last time you sold? Why don't you just get a job someplace? Why don't you just work? No, I'm in real estate. There are many people I spoke to over there, like on the wife selling. I'm not doing this. He thinks he's in real estate. In the meantime, they're turning off electricity at our house. They're throwing us out of our house, and he thinks that they're coming to talk to him about buying and selling, Yankee Stadium or something. There's no saga. The negis are very strong with the person, very, very strong. So even though there are obvious bechinas, there are obvious simanim. But a person just is relentless in his recreation of reality in order to fit what he feels it must be. It's not only that, the way of the Torah is, and this might sound odd, the way of the Torah, the Rebbe says, is that one should always be suspicious of oneself, a little bit. In other words, even though in general, of course, we're very, very positive and very positive and and lichtiger way of looking at metzias. We'll talk more about that in Yitzchum in the book a little bit later. But still, he says the Torah wants the Rashi's call l'stak l'atzmo k'chashad poshet, that one should look at oneself k'chashad poshet. Chashad poshet with a little bit of suspicion. Kalganav shemachaldav v'chayishnasishem ramahu. Like there's somebody that's a ganav. When there's a ganav, anything that the ganav says, right? When you know somebody is a ganav, whatever he says, you're always not 100% sure. That's how you have to look at yourself. Like a ganav. A ganav, you know, if he tells you, if this person is known to be a ganav, so anything that he tells you, there's always a little bit of a chashad. You know, you have to prove yourself. A ganav has to prove himself to be straight and something else, because he has a bad track record. Because there's gnevus in his past. So which one of us doesn't have that? A gnevus, God forbid. You know, crookedness and dishonesty. So he says that a person looks at himself, has to see himself to begin with. A ganav has lost his credibility, he's lost his cheskes kashrus, and in everything he's lost his cheskes kashrus. Of course, the Rebbe is very careful to say that this is something that you think about only at a time of his bonus, when you're making your cheshbon and nefesh. It's a good time for that before Rosh Hashanah. Of course, that doesn't mean when you're doing a mitzvah, when you're davening, at the time that you're doing the mitzvah, you should have self-doubts, and you should look at yourself in any kind of a negative way when you're doing a mitzvah. B'shas ma'isa. Commissioner Dabo Ed Mizel Hall, I'll talk about that. He says, remember what I've told you. Tie this to your heart. That you'll be able to serve Hashem and to move forward. So it is in this matter that we're now discussing. Were I to give you some sort of a simon, a way of knowing within yourself who you are, and a way of knowing within yourself where your avodas Hashem is. He's a simon of b'china. He's a simon of b'china livchem by his atzmcha, a way of testing yourself. Ladas and be'emes atem esragesh mislahev aloi. To know whether or not you're misragish or mislaif, you know, whether in davening, in your avoda, whatever that emotion that you're feeling is that called hisragish? Is that called hislaus? So I feel a little bit bad because the Rebbe is writing this for Talmidim Chassidim, who for whom it was very, very difficult to discern whether or not the emotions that they were feeling were truly Yisrachus or Yislavus. He wasn't writing it for people who are emotionless, you understand? So, I'm not saying that we're all, God forbid, emotionless. But the Rebbe imagines that he's talking that if he would come into our lives, into a Bis Medrash or a davening, that it would be mamish like Kailas Abrakim, the way that it was in his Bis Medrash, with people screaming and yelling and calling out and all kinds of what apparent hisragshis. And to that olam, the Rebbe was saying, it's not so pasha that you really feel what you think you feel. But for most of us, we're just saying, okay, we're masking 100%, we don't feel it. Just help us feel something, right? And just help us. We have no delusions like this. But, you know, so even b'shas ma'isa, when it comes to Ne'ilah, and the person's by the sixth, you know, Hashem Holakim, is by Ne'ilah. That can you imagine the possessor coming over to you and saying, do you think this is really it? This is really it. Maybe then we can have an epis, a little bit of a hergish of how you see he's so worried about how the chassidim are going to feel hurt because the bechinas and the simonim are not 100%, you know. Because these were people who lived in a way that was very fire, that was very, very on fire. And the Avayda, and the Rebbe is working so hard to dissect into everything and to clarify and to purify that it should be be'emes b'leiv son of v'tayeli bein la'amdcha be'emes. But for most of us, we're just chalishing for a little bit of his rakshas. a little bit of a hergish of kedusha. But even then, whatever that little bit is, we're hoping that it should be able to be sincere and honest, and the Rebbe wants to help us that it should be sincere and honest. If the bechinas and the simonim that I give you, you use, but it's together with your personal negiyas, then that's the way that it is. The person will distort. And you won't see the truth. And he says, didn't I already give you a little bit something that you could measure a little bit to measure your Islavs? We spoke about the difference between knowing whether it's Islavs or it's Hisrakshas, whether it's really Hislavus Navez Hashem, or it's just a feeling of excitement and Hisrakshas. Me im Gedayla Hisrakshuscha, Mechazokim Imcha. And that simon was that if the Hisrakshas is very, very strong, stronger and greater than you, actually, Tuchalas Apik Mimena, that the Hisrakshas is so strong that you can't hide it, you can't control it. Not that we're forcing ourselves to scream out, not that we're forcing ourselves to be excited, but the instructions are so strong, that you can't stop it from coming out. You can't hold yourself back from davening. You must daven at that moment. You can't stop davening. And you can't stop davening in a warm way, in a strong way. You can't. And it was, if somebody would come over to you, let's say a person, $5, a person is watching a movie and it's a very, very, very in that film, it's a very moving scene that you see. It's a very, very dramatic moment in the movie. And you feel that you're starting to get a little bit teary-eyed, and someone comes over to you and says to you, don't feel that way, don't be emotional about this. You know, someone says to you, what are you getting all worked up? It's, no, this is nothing. It's just a movie. It doesn't mean anything. Shasmai say, you know, you can't not feel a certain way when those feelings have been unleashed inside of you. You can't stop. When it's been unleashed inside of you. And oftentimes, if the person, well, this is one of the dangerous things when it comes to movies and things like that, that even after the movie is finished, the person can't stop in his head going over and over that. He can't stop davening. He can't stop thinking about it. He can't stop visualizing and seeing what was in the movie. It was such a touching. Or a person goes to the airport, and he sees in the airport that there are people that they haven't seen each other twice, you know, for 20 years, and there's a reunion. So I saw these things there, just so the people that weren't able to get out from Russia, and then they come, and then so that brother and sister haven't seen each other for 40 years. They haven't seen each other, brother and sister, and you're standing there. and you get very, very worked up. You have a strong hisrakshas, and someone comes over to you and tells you, stop it. Don't feel this way. Don't think this way. You can't stop yourself. If you know somebody's got to be a levi and you hear a hesped and one of the children is talking about a parent that passed away, you can't stop feeling that. It's so powerful. It rises up and it starts leaking out of your eyes and your ears, and you just can't stop it unless you run away, but you can't stop it. When it comes to hisrakshas, when a person feels a hisrakshas, only when it reaches such a point, the Rebbe said, you want a simon, you want a bechina, here's a simon, here's a bechina. He said that when that hisrakshas is so strong, actually, suchal asapik mimen, you can't stop it. Leisuchal atalach the mispal asbalaka, you can't stop davening now, or you can't have a cold davening. You can't change it from hot to cold. then he kind Nikra Islavus Lufi Arcana. Then we could already identify that as Islavus on our level. We could already call that Islavus. Omeata Bishozu. So he says, now let's be honest. Bishozu Shatamachriach is Asmacha. When you're forcing yourself, B'tnuas Shainas, using all different kinds of movements, motions, right, with different shuckling and different motions, and you're trying whatever you can, La Halav Oischa, to set yourself on fire. And then V'daimelach HaKinis Lahavtakvar B'lahave Kodesh. And that it seems to you, Kinis Lahavtakvar B'lahave Kodesh. It seems to you that you already have a Slavas B'lahave Kodesh. Naso no lachtel mekol tnoiseha. He says, try this at that moment. Stop moving around. Stop shuffling. Stop making all the motions. Vimbemes vasali day islavas. If what you were experiencing was truly islavas, as nafshecha haleheva leisaniach lechol lanuach. If it was truly islavas that you were feeling, then your soul, which is on fire, will not allow you to be still. It won't allow you to be still. You can't be still. Titzak, tizkageya, tivke, tismach. You'll scream, you'll be filled with longing and crying and laughing. You can't stop. You can't stop, even though you've stopped moving. Like there's a bubbling pot and a raging ocean inside of you. It throws you from one place to the other. That's stronger than you. But however, if you see that when you stop moving, when you stop shuckling, when you stop screaming, or, you know, it's in shul and it's the, you know, and davening is over, right? It's the last kaddish, davening is over. Hakol nach, and then everything you see suddenly quiets down. Like doichev lemesvagish, there's nothing. You're not pushing anymore, and you're not mesvagish anymore. Sheket v'haz. Total silence. Yechalta ata afilu lasiach dvar betaylem. Imlay betfila marata. You're even capable of saying at that very same moment, dvar betaylem. You talk about something else. Or someone would say something interesting to you. You'd hear it and you'd be, you know, you would be able to get involved in it. Simenhu shirak hechrech ukfiya hayutun yasecha blehoyim. All of that, the Rebbe says, is a simen that you were forcing yourself. That's not called Islavas. It was all, the whole thing was a matter of forcing yourself. B'lehoil. And it didn't really catch fire inside of you. It didn't work. Not to say, as the Rebbe said before, earlier, and he's saying now, not to say that one shouldn't try and it's not meaningful, but one has to be able to discern and to know what is Islavus and what's not Islavus and Avodas Hashem. One has to be able to be real and to be honest. Hein es isak shuscha leisucha bazelim dayim. Kevin Shay is Swagshus, like a Dalav Hazaki him in Haladam Canal. If the Swagshus is not overcoming you, if it's not stronger than you, so then you really can't measure to say that it's Islava. So if I'm Mikomakom, Imkshik Techdal Nintanoy Sacha called Kach Tipal Achivemis, Isiochalasia Gamdor Batalam. If it's possible for you, after your davening, and that davening was all kinds of screaming and was shuckling and everything, and it's possible after that davening to talk about Gam Dvar Betelem, to talk about other things, if it's possible, talk about other things. And it wouldn't even worry you. In other words, you had this davening and you were davening very, very strong, and then afterwards you're able immediately or very shortly after you're able to talk about other things, and there's shum daigalei haisam, and it doesn't even, you're not even worried about this. How could that be? Ozgam hisrakshus lahaisa. Could be that it wasn't even hisrakshus at all. It wasn't hisrakshus. Not that's not his slavus, meaning that this rakshas was not stronger than you, was not overcoming and overtaking who you are. No, Mela, it wasn't his slavus, but even his rakshas it might not have been. If you're able right after that, about to talk about dvarim b'teilim, and it doesn't even concern you, and you don't even say, how could it be? How did I descend from such a high mountain to such a low pit? How did such a thing happen? If that was real. And it's not even as factious that you experienced. He says, because a chassid whose tefillas al kol ponim is at least be his factious. And the Rebbe's not saying, as you'll see, he said then, he'll say again. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try these things. We just have to have a goal. We have to have an objective. We have to have a tachlis. And we shouldn't fool ourselves to think that that we've reached that tachlis. It's not something that we don't try. We obviously know that there's a way of shakling, there's a way of trying to daven out loud, to get things going. We know that, and the Sfarim tell us that. But still a person, the Rebbe says, has to know, and he still has work to do, and he hasn't come to that objective, he hasn't reached the tachlis yet. When this person who's davening with his fractures, even though it's not his love, it's his fractures, when he stops it suddenly, he feels some sort of a heartache. Not the relief that we often feel, you know, when davening is over. There's a sense of relief. There's a sense of relief that it's going to be over soon. Or when you hear the sweet sound of Adonai Olam, or that last Kaddish, especially if it's Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. And the question is whether or not you had a big break or a little break and so on. And even talking about this is far from any rutzen to have a davening at all. He says, but a person who's at least a misragish, when suddenly he has to stop davening, when it's time to go, let's say, he can't continue, he feels min k'ev halev. Right? A person who felt in his life that he was in love with somebody and that it's time to leave, it's time to go. First of all, it stretches out very long, right? A young man, his parents are expecting him home, you know, some normal time, it's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, so he already sees, you know, that the sun is starting to come up, and he's already been saying goodbye to his little friend for the last 3 hours. He says, if I don't hurry up home, I'm going to, you know, turn into a pumpkin, and my father's going to get really upset with me, my parents are staying up. He can't tear himself away, and even when he goes away, it's a ke'ev leiv, it hurts to go away. And he feels, in ke'ev ha'leiv, abar mitach ga'agu metshuke elav yisbarach. That's how a person, he says, that whose davening is with his rakshas, that to close the siddur and to stop davening, there's a ke'ev leiv. It hurts. He feels some heartache having to walk away from davening. Because there was such an amazing closeness that he had during davening. It was such a strong feeling, and it's always very painful to walk away from something where you're feeling very, very much a gilui hanefesh, when your soul is bared and revealed. It's so rare in our lives that our neshamas or our nefesh, our nefashes, are revealed to us. So when you experience that, it's so gewaldig, you don't want to walk away. You don't want to walk away. It's such a gewaldig feeling. Whenever a person has a gilui hanefesh, on any level, a revelation of a deeper emotion, of a deeper feeling, it's very, very hard to walk away from that. It hurts to go away from that. Alach has kama v'kama. When a person had a hiskashus and kedusha and holiness, it's so hard to go away. And even a person you know, and even it's always hard to know, to measure oneself, but when a person, you know, at the end, like let's say it's Ne'ilas Achag, at the end, the last few moments of Simchas Torah, right? And it's not like with Simchas Torah, it's not when it's going to be Shabbos right away, you know? I think last year we had that. But, you know, like the next day is, you know, it's Tuesday or something. And a person has to go to work. So after being an entire month, the whole tekufa being, even without the hisrakshas, we're not these kind of people, but just being surrounded with tefillas, navoida, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and the sukkah, and Abba Minim, all these things, the reality of that ending, and a person having to descend into the make believe world outside of kedusha, it's painful. And a person sorts out, and many times the guys have said to me, they're not sure whether it's more a feeling of hate for their job and disgust with their lives, you know, that they have to go to some stupid building and go and talk to stupid people about stupid things, or it's just that they're gaguim for kedusha, that you get used to being a yid again. You get used to being with all the Yidden, and you get used to being at the end, it's a minig, at the end we do here in the shul also, and it's by Chassidim, that at the end of Simchas Torah we sing a couple of Naguna from the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah, you know, from Kippur and Kitz for Lishnei Sach, we chaz over a little bit the Yom Nerayim, and you chaz over a little bit out the Bechaton, you know, you chaz over what it was, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah Yom Tov, it's almost impossible to go away from it. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, this sweetness to that time. It's the nusach, the davening, the melodies, it's such an unbelievable sweetness and the seekers of being back in Hashem's Baruch's presence. It hurts to go away from it. Mamish hurts to go away from it. To go, you know, back into whatever, C minor, you know, in life. It hurts to go away from it, from that niggin, to go away from that niggin. And when a person is more balavai, that every Shabbos shall pursue this, what we're learning about, we were talking about, the Rebbe describes the gagum of shall pursue this and going away from that and the period from Kedusha. Kaev lepachas mezeshamagish lefam nitshuka lahayrav levanov b'shoshanayisim svachakim yam. That even we can experience this, that it's no less of a feeling of pain that comes when you have to say goodbye to your parents and you're not going to see them for a while. When you have to say goodbye, you have to say goodbye to your children when you're not going to see. When you're not going to see your children for a while. One of the children is going away for some time. You know, the that separation, that feeling of cave lave, even though you try to carry yourself and you want to be, you know, strong and everything. Especially a man has to be a certain way and show himself a certain way, but inside your heart is very broken. You're not going to just be seeing your child for a long time. Which used to be, you know, when we went there to Israel, you didn't see your parents, you know, for the whole year. You didn't come back Pesach. Now the children feel that parents are upset that it's only a matter of, you know, 3 weeks or so that the parents will go to Israel, or that the kids will come back, or maybe 5 weeks, you know, that they won't see them. If he's a real big masmid, you know, then you go 5 weeks without seeing mommy or daddy or whatever. It used to be, I was saying yesterday when I was learning some chav yesterday, that we don't have a bris downstairs, by the way, today. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have a bris, so it's not. So we're going to say slichas at 10:00. But, you know, that we used to be there when we went to Eretz Yisrael, when I was a bocher, and that was just when guys started to go to Eretz Yisrael. It was just starting to become an Indian to go to Eretz Yisrael when I was a bacher. You only spoke to your parents once or twice on the phone the whole year. Forget about coming home Pesach. It was like, there was no such having me to come home Pesach. But if someone would go home Pesach, you'd say, what's the matter? Eretz Yisrael's chamizdik or something? Nobody went home Pesach. I remember there was one guy and everybody like made fun of him, and, you know, he was like humiliated, and he has even come back. It was a miracle that he came back, because it was such a bush of him to leave. You know, and we used to go to relatives. Okay, he used to go to army bases. It's just like all over the place. It wasn't even happening on the phone. Twice a year, he used to line up on the Chav Yafo by the post office. He used to line up to make a call. And be on the phone. I would call my parents. I was on the phone 10, 15 seconds, and my father always screams when it's long distance, even to New Jersey. He screams on the phone when it's long distance. The further away, the louder he yells. That's that. So my father's screaming on the phone. Okay, all right, Moshe, go, get you out of enough. And it was long distance. No, it's like, it's not that they couldn't afford it, but it was like, you don't talk a lot. Twice a year I spoke to my parents. I spoke to them twice in the year. That was it. And it happens that one year when I was there, that my mother made an appearance talk, and my mother came on the pretenses that her sister wasn't feeling well. She had to come see her sister. Well, remember, my mother came to the yeshiva, in front of the yeshiva, to pick me up. The guys of mom was jeering at me from the window, and I never lived it down. I think that, wow, Vaisha, they're making fun of all this Hungarian, and his mother's here, and all this. It was like I got mom's the business from it, And there was a feeling when you went away, when you left for the year, it was pretty serious. It was a hard thing. It was a very, very hard thing. But we're living a life now where it's very important that there not be any unpleasantness. Even when it comes to somebody that's passing away. I had a conversation with somebody this week. Somebody, a terrible maisa happened, he passed away. There was somebody, his friend was dying. And he was neglecting his family, he was neglecting his wife, his friend, the friend of the person who was passing away. He was nothing else, he wasn't doing anything else, he wasn't going to work, he wasn't learning. And I was talking to him for a while, trying, the wife didn't know what to do, and so I was trying to mechazik him. We should only know from good things, we should never know from tzaros. But we're living at a time where people aren't supposed to die anymore. They're not supposed to die, we don't expect people to die. We don't want to have any unpleasantness in life. We don't expect, people aren't supposed to die. Certainly, God forbid, young people. Our grandparents and great-grandparents, it sounds pretty morbid, but they expected people to die. And when they didn't, it was like a valdig. But they didn't look like at us, not that we don't experience, we don't want to have any discomfort, also known as heating and air conditioning and many other things like that. The biggest discomfort in life is someone that you love dying. And to hear words, I was talking to this person, I said, this you're talking about, it's kfira. How could it be? This can't happen. How could it be? And why would Hashem do such a thing? And if Hashem could do such a thing, these lashonos, kfira. What do you mean, how could it be? Why was it possible for Jews to die 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? No, but he's young and he has a family. It's kfira. Kfira, your mom and your bentai, why you talk like that? The sense of kfira. That your children and your wife and everybody around you has to see that you're totally broken, you can't daven, you can't learn, you can't stand up tall, you're crying, you're carrying on like that. I know it sounds very callous of me to talk this way, and forgive me, I don't mean to be like that. I'm not, God forbid, insensitive to this. And if a person doesn't feel, it's also not good. But that it should be in such a way that the person can't accept and can't live, that the Bari Olam brings about such things. There was never such a way by Klai Yisrael. We're very emotional people, and we feel pain. The pain of others, our own pain. But there's a gevurah and nefesh that a Jew has. But it's interesting that when it comes to what the Rebbe is saying, is that to walk away from davening, to separate oneself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is there, Davka. There we don't feel that pain. We don't feel when it comes to doing it. When it comes, God forbid, when a person does Chas V'Shalom an aveira, shouldn't it be that a person feels b'shas ma'ase? God forbid, when he does an aveira, should feel a terrible feeling of separation from Hashem, and sad, and a pain, that there's something inside of himself that's dying, and you should feel bad about that. So that's a siman. That's what the Rebbe is talking about, of where we're holding in his structures and avoda. That Mitzvah Shem we're going to continue, and the Rebbe is going to mechazek us how we could build up a stronger sense of his structures. Mishavs. I was starting slichas downstairs in 1 minute.